comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you found us, and I hope you enjoy the show and make a habit out of it. Welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. Don't forget to subscribe to the K-Files e-zine. If you have not yet done so, be sure you do. There's absolutely no genius in being a mushroom. Now, being a mushroom happens if you're kept in the dark and fed a steady diet of stuff. Right? There's no genius in being a mushroom. So you need to be informed. And the way to be informed is, especially in this genre, is for you to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. This newsletter is called the K-Files e-zine, and you subscribe by going to my website and click on the button that says K-Files e-zine. Now, we're not going to ask you for any credit card number or, you know, there's no strings attached here. It really is free. Whenever we say it's free, we mean it's free, okay? So be sure you get subscribed to that. And it comes out each week. We start sending it out on Friday nights, right after the Friday night show is concluded. So you can still get in on this week's K-Files e-zine. Also, you still have time to register for something really special that's going to happen this Saturday. Now, what's going to happen this Saturday is we're going to be showing the Gods in the Garden seminar. Now, when we did it previously, it was live. This time, you'll be seeing the recording of that live seminar. In other words, you'll be watching what's the same stuff that's on the DVD. So if you missed it first time around, you don't want to miss it second time. There may be a third time somewhere way in the future, but this is pretty much it for Gods in the Garden as far as us broadcasting it, at least for a long, long time. Now, there are going to be three showings of it on Saturday. Okay, it's about 2 hours long, and what we're going to do is on Saturday we'll show it, and we'll do that three different times during the 24-hour period. Those who are registered will receive an email that has the link and the password to get in and see it. Okay, and this is a way to help support the show and help us be able to pay the bills here at the end of the month, so that we'll be here next month. It's also a way for you to get in on the Gods in the Garden seminar. It truly is a seminar that shook the world. And the reason I say that is the people who have seen it, the people who experienced it, have told me it shook their world. It's information you need. And it's not information that I think you'll get anywhere else. So go to my website, click on the ad, and register. We'll be back right after this. Thank you. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we've got some interesting things happening in the news having to do with space, extraterrestrial life, and the neighborhood of Mars. So we're going to dive off into this news, and I want to share that with you. And there's a reason for that. The reason for that is there is a war of information. I think you're well aware of that by now. I think you're well aware of the fact that there truly is an information war being waged worldwide. Alleged news agencies around the world, they're real agencies, but alleged to be news agencies, tend to be quite often propaganda arms for one interest or another, taking various positions and slanting the news either by what they say or by what they refuse to report. So there really is a war of information.
There's a war out there, old friend. A world war. And it's not about who's got the most bullets. It's about who controls the information. What we see and hear, how we work, what we think. It's all about the information.
It is all about the information, isn't it? Well, how about this? Scientists in Austria at the University of Vienna have formed a new research group. They say it is an interdisciplinary research group. And they are working to uncover how life might evolve with exotic biochemistry and solvents, such as sulfuric acid instead of water. And they will be presenting their research at the European Planetary Science Congress in Potsdam. Pretty interesting what they're doing. They are looking for what would be the biomarkers of life that doesn't use water, oxygen, and carbon, but perhaps sulfuric acid or ammonia or methane. Well, finally, this welcome to the future, gentlemen and ladies of this research group. I'm glad you're doing it, but welcome to something that's really old news here at the Kevin Smith Show. Because I've been talking about this since this show first began broadcasting back in 2000. Those of you who have been listening since 2000, and there are a great number of you who have been with us since the very beginning, and if not since the very beginning, there are many of you who have been listening for 4 or 5 years, and you have heard me say it time and time and time again. And probably the most notable time was when Dr. Michio Kaku was here on the show, and I mentioned this to him, and he agreed. But what I say is, if life exists elsewhere, then it must exist within its context. The reason life on this planet, generally speaking, uses water, oxygen, and carbon is because that's what's here on this planet. But if you're looking for life on another planet, you can't use the tests that test for that kind of life, because on that other planet, it may be methane and sulfuric acid or methane and ammonia in the atmosphere. And so if there's life there, it's not going to be based on something that's here. It's going to be based on what's there. Well, finally, after all this time, there are some scientists that have gotten a glimpse of reality about searching for life off of this planet. If you were looking for life that lives on the surface of Mars, you would have to be looking for life that, at least if what NASA tells us about the atmosphere on Mars is true, you have to be looking for life that thrives primarily on carbon dioxide. You wouldn't be looking for life that thrives on oxygen and water. You would be looking for life that thrives primarily on carbon dioxide. So then you go there with a package of tests to test for biological life, and you're testing for biological life like biological life that exists on this planet. And then you don't find any? Whoa. What a surprise. Now, this group of scientists is working out of the University of Vienna. And it says, I like the way they worded it. It says here in this article that scientists have been looking for biomarkers produced by extraterrestrial life with metabolisms resembling the terrestrial ones, where water is used as a solvent and the building blocks of life, or amino acids, are based on carbon and oxygen. However, these may not be the only conditions under which life could evolve. If life exists anywhere, it exists within its context. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, how could you and I exist here on this planet requiring water and oxygen and requiring carbon-based elements, chemicals? How could that happen unless there was water and oxygen and carbon on this planet? We exist within our context. If there is life elsewhere, it exists within its context. And so if you go there to look for life, you're looking at the context. You have to test for life that uses that context, that environment. So I applaud these folks for doing this. They are, at least as far as the Kevin Smith Show is concerned, 9 years behind. But at least they've gotten there. Now, there may, as a result of this, be some real progress that just might happen. And I think that would be a great thing for there to be some great progress in this. However, I do want to point one thing out here. It says the newly established research group, together with international collaborators, will investigate the properties of a range of solvents other than water, including their abundance in space, thermal and biochemical characteristics, as well as their ability to support the origin and evolution of life-supporting metabolisms. There's one thing in there they really don't need to look for. I mean, it really isn't important, and that is where it says they'll be looking for and investigating these things, including their abundance in space. Not important. You know, it's not important how much methane there is out in space if you're looking for life on Titan. What's important is how much methane there is on Titan. It's not important how much oxygen is out in space. If you're looking for life on Earth, what's important is how much oxygen is here on Earth. It's the context, the environment of the planet that makes the difference and that is important. But again, I certainly applaud them for getting a glimpse of reality here, and I wish them success. This is the kind of science you've heard me calling for. Of course, I've directed most of my comments towards the scientists at NASA. If NASA has actually been doing this kind of science, they've been keeping it quiet. It appears to me they've been beaten to the punch here by these folks in Vienna. And again, I certainly applaud them. This group, it was brought together in May of 2009. So that's interesting stuff, huh? As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and give them some applause for getting a glimpse of reality. There are some interesting vibes coming out of Russia about their next mission to Mars. Their next mission to Mars was actually supposed to launch in October. And it's not specifically a mission to Mars. It is specifically a mission to the moon of Mars by the name of Phobos. Remember Phobos? Strange looking planet. You know, the Russian Space Agency seems to be pretty switched on, motivated, and wound up about Phobos. They've flown at least two missions specifically to Phobos. Both of them, one of them was a total failure, and one of them was a partial success. The one that was a partial success was apparently blasted out of space by a cigar-shaped mothership some 20 kilometers in length. However, this little satellite, Phobos 2, did photograph the mothership just prior to being obliterated and transmitted that picture back to Earth. You've seen it, but in case you haven't, those of you who are watching on KSS TV will see it tonight. Now, that satellite, maybe you knew and maybe you didn't know. That satellite was supposed to land on Phobos. It had some of the most advanced technology of its day. And its day was back in 1989. And it made some photographs, infrared photographs and optical photographs of Mars as, you know, it got out there to Mars and it got into orbit. And then it did some infrared photographs of Mars, and it did some optical photographs of Mars. And then the satellite was beginning to pace Phobos and align itself with Phobos because it was going to land on Phobos. It got a photograph as it was in that maneuver to align itself with Phobos. It got a photograph of a 20 kilometer long cigar-shaped mothership. The next thing that happened is that the Phobos satellite stopped sending telemetry. In other words, they lost contact with it. Once later, as they continued to try to establish contact with it, they did get brief bursts of fragmented telemetry. And those that are experts in this said that it appeared that what was happening is that Phobos was spinning out of control. It was just spinning out into space. And as a result, as the antenna would sweep around in the direction of Earth, they'd get a fragmented burst of telemetry. And they lost it. Well, tonight, we're going to be talking about, for just a few minutes here, I'm going to be discussing with you this whole thing about going to Mars and why is Russia so interested in Phobos. And there may even be some tie-in with information coming out of the good old USA. So we're going to take a look at some of that. Now, the next mission, first, you need to know that back in 1988, in July 1988, the Russians launched two unmanned satellites toward Mars. One of them was called Phobos 1. The other was called Phobos 2. Phobos 1 just went missing while it was en route to Mars. Just went missing. They don't know where it went. Phobos 2 safely arrived at Mars and was inserted into the orbit around Mars. And it did, in fact, conduct and gather some very interesting telemetry, some very interesting pictures of Mars and Phobos. But as I said, when they aligned it with Phobos to prepare for landing it on Phobos, it was apparently blasted out of space. Now, there are people who will argue against that. They will say that it didn't happen, that it was just a malfunction, and these things happen in space. Well, they do. Nothing happens by accident. And there are people that will say, oh, that's just nonsense. There was no 20-kilometer-long mothership. Yeah, there was, and there was a photograph from Phobos of the thing that apparently shot it out of space. There are some interesting photographs it took before this happened. Now, I'll share one of those photographs here tonight, but I'll describe others. Phobos is a weird-looking moon. It's a very weird-looking moon. Phobos is kind of a potato-shaped thing, but on one side of it, it looks like the Death Star from Star Wars. People have speculated as to whether maybe it was sort of the model that gave the idea of the shape of a Death Star for the Star Wars movie. Don't know. Maybe it did. I don't know. But you know something? It's a weird place. It's a weird-looking place, and the Russians are really interested in it. Now, when the Phobos satellite first arrived in Mars orbit, this would be Phobos 2. It arrived in January 1989, and it turned its cameras toward Mars, and it began to photograph both optically and with infrared things on the surface of Mars. And one of the really interesting things that it photographed is something that for all the world looks like a city. This looks like what cities look like when you get a satellite photograph of them. It looks like a flyover. One scientist said that looks, it could be the flyover of Los Angeles. I'm going to tell you something interesting about this photo when we come back, so don't go away. We're talking about Phobos, and that is, of course, one of the moons of Mars. And I was showing you a photograph, for those of you watching on television, a city on Mars. Now, some people will say, ah, that's not a city. That's just some rock formations. Well, you see, here's the problem. Here's the interesting thing about this photograph. You're not looking at the surface of Mars. You're looking at an infrared photo, and it's caused by heat signatures of something under the surface. That's not rock formations out on the surface. That's under the surface. Now, you might say, well, why is... Okay, so what? Well, look. All of that is giving off heat. That's so what? It's not just dead geology sitting out there. That, all of that structure that you're looking at, looks like streets and buildings and stuff, is giving off heat. And the infrared, the camera, is reading the heat signatures coming from underground. Pretty amazing, don't you think? Well, that was photographed while the Phobos 2 satellite was in orbit around Mars. There was another photograph, and I wish I had gotten this one. I started to, and then I decided not to because, I don't know, you've probably seen it. But the optical, both optical camera and infrared camera, registered an elliptical-shaped, long elliptical-shaped shadow that, very long, that passed across the surface of Mars beneath the satellite. It's not the shadow of Phobos. It's not the shadow of anything known to be out there in space with this Phobos 2 satellite. But there it is. And it's just, it's kind of pointed on the ends and then, well, elliptical shaped. Now, they know it's a shadow because you can see things through that shadow. You can still see the surface of Mars and the features on the surface of Mars, but there's this shadow over it. They don't know what it is. And then Phobos 2, on, let's see, I think it was on March the 28th of 1989, yeah, 28th of March, 1989, the Phobos 2 satellite was sent into alignment with Phobos and began to turn its cameras towards Phobos. And when it did that, it snapped a picture. It transmitted the picture. And the next thing that happened was the Soviet Mission Control Center acknowledged sudden communication problems with the spacecraft. And that was reported in the TASS news agency. Now, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll be happy to share this photograph with those, the elliptical-shaped object. I'll share that photograph with you. I've got it printed out here. I don't have it where I can put it up on the screen, but let's see if we can do this. Okay, now those who are watching on our TV channel can see the elliptical-shaped shadow. Okay, so it got that, and then it is sent into alignment with the moon, Phobos. And when it's sent into alignment with this moon, it snaps another picture. It transmits this picture. And then after it transmits this picture, all communications with the satellite are suddenly lost. It's not like they failed, you know, and you get a little static and a little indication that it's beginning to fail. It's just, bang, it's gone. Now, this is a very famous photograph. In this photograph, and this is from Phobos 2, this is from the Russian Space Agency, you have the moon Phobos, odd-shaped rock out there in orbit around Mars. Apparently, in alignment with Phobos, there's this other object. This other object, they have estimated its size at 20 kilometers long and 1.5 kilometers around. So this is big. This is not a little thing. It's big. It's a long cigar-shaped object. Now, that photograph is the last photograph the Russian Space Agency got from Phobos. At least, that's what they say. The next thing that happens after this photograph, the next thing that happens is the Phobos 2 satellite is suddenly incommunicado. Suddenly, bang, it stops communicating. Now, a little while later, as I said, the experts on the ground trying to reestablish some communications with the satellite, got these little short bursts of fragmented telemetry. According to those experts, it indicated that Phobos was possibly spinning out of control. What caused it to begin spinning out of control? Well, they don't know exactly, but it doesn't take a real leap of imagination to figure that maybe it has something to do with the object it photographed. I've been calling it a mothership. I don't know what else to call it. It's 20 kilometers long. It's 1.5 kilometers around. It's where it isn't supposed to be, and it's the last thing Phobos 2 saw. Now, I said at the beginning of this show that there's some sort of unusual vibes coming out of the Russian Space Agency. I want to explain to you why I think there are some unusual vibes coming out of the Russian Space Agency. I want you to understand, I want you to get a feel for why it's a little bit mysterious. Phobos 1 just disappeared on its way to Mars. Phobos 2 disappeared in the manner that I've just described for you. It got there. It was successfully inserted into orbit. It successfully shot both infrared and optical photographs, and then it disappeared. What's interesting now has to do with the Russian Space Agency's missions to Mars. When do you think the Russian Space Agency first decided to go to Mars? When was their first mission to Mars? Any idea? What do you think? Maybe 1969, 1970, 75? 1960. October the 10th, 1960. This spacecraft was supposed to do a Mars flyby. And its flight number, for those of you who want to check it out, all the way back in 1960, they were going to do a Mars flyby. And its flight number is 8K78/L1-4. But the problem is it experienced third stage failure at T plus 300 seconds. So at 300 seconds after launch, it failed. But that was their first attempt. Now I have here a list of all of the attempts that the Russian Space Agency has made with regard to Mars, at least the ones they tell us about. There are 20 listed here. Of the 20, 17 of these were failures. There was on October the 14th, 1960. 4 days later, they tried again. And that flight number is 8K78/L15. What happened to it? Third stage failure at T plus 290 seconds. It lasted 10 seconds less than the first attempt. It would be 2 years before they try again. October the 24th, 1962, again trying a Mars flyby. This time, they got into low orbit, but they had a fourth stage failure in the low orbit. But they're still trying. 1962, 1 month later in November, actually not even a month later because it was October the 24th, 1962, when the one failed in low Earth orbit. So that was October 24th. November 1st, 7 days later, they tried. And it failed on its way to Mars. It finally got out of orbit, but it failed on its way to Mars. And I could go through these, failed to leave orbit. One got stranded in low Earth orbit. One failed to leave low Earth orbit. One fails on its way. One actually made it there. When do you think they finally made it to Mars? It was June the 18th, 1965. Now, by this time, they've tried 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. This is their eighth attempt, at least, in what they publish. Eighth attempt. It's called the Zond 3. And it actually photographed the Martian surface. And then failed again in April 2nd, 1969, May 10th, 1971. They had a Mars orbiter called Cosmos 419. It failed to leave Earth orbit. But then finally, 9 days later, May 19th, 1971, they had one that actually made it to Mars and orbited Mars. So now it's 11 years since their first attempt. That was May 19th. May the 28th, 1971. The orbiter tried to land on Mars, or it had a craft to try and land on Mars, and it failed. It crashed. And we can go on and on and on here. Then we get down to July 7th, 1988, and July the 12th, 1988. And that's where we'll pick up when we come back. Welcome back. We're talking about Phobos. And Phobos is one of the moons of Mars. It's the largest, and it's tiny. But it's the largest moon of Mars. Now, remember, the Russians have been there successfully, not too often. They don't have very good batting average about getting there. But they've been there. And look, NASA's had its share of failures, too. I think with NASA's about a 50% success rate when it comes to Mars. Here you've got, out of 20 missions to Mars, 17 failures. Phobos 2 was one that successfully got there, got a picture of what looks like a city, and, you know, the thing about it, if that was just out on the surface, it could be argued that that's just rock formations. It's not out on the surface. It's not an optical photograph. It's an infrared photograph. And that means, and it is something that's under the surface, and that means that it's giving off heat under the surface. It turns its attention toward Phobos, snaps a picture of a 20-kilometer-long cigar-shaped mothership, gets blasted out of space, and now here we are going back. The Russians are. When Phobos had its disaster, it was 8 years before they sent anything else back to Mars. Now, I want you to listen to these dates. Just grab the significance of this. This is, I'm just pulling one example of dates out of this list. These are launch dates. They were going to Mars like this. May the 10th, 1971. May the 19th, 1971. May 28th, 1971. I mean, just like this, they're sending missions to Mars. We're talking about every few days. But after the Phobos 2 incident, it was 8 years before they tried to go back to Mars. And as I said, they tried to go back November the 16th, 1996. And it failed to leave Earth orbit. So here we are now in 2009, and now they're saying, okay, we're going to put it off till 2011. So really, since 1989, when the Phobos 2 satellite gets blasted away by something, since then until now, the Russians have not had a successful Mars mission. They only tried once, and it didn't work. And here they are, going back again. And where are they going? Are they going to Mars? No, they're going to Phobos. Now, I want you to listen about this bio-module that they're carrying. This is what they say about it. Our Phobos life team has one flight bio module and three duplicate Earth control bio modules that are fully loaded with the microorganisms that were chosen to fly to Phobos and back. Okay? Why are they doing that? Why are they taking this little hockey puck full of microorganisms, flying to Phobos and coming back? Why are they doing that? Well, here's what they say. They say, it will help us to understand one aspect of transpermia, whether life can be transported between the planets. Of course it can. Life can be transported between the planets. If it could not be transported between the planets, we would never, ever take any precautions about contaminating Mars. You know, everything we send to Mars is ultra sterile. Everything we send to the moon, ultra sterile when we launch it. And you know, and then when they come back from space, they go through decontamination. Why? Because of course life can be transported. Why are there four modules, four hockey pucks full of microorganisms? Now, remember when I said I have just a sneaking suspicion that a lot of those missions to Mars that failed in low Earth orbit, failed to leave Earth orbit, and then like 5 days later, 10 days later, they launch another one and it gets out of Earth orbit? And I said, you know, that's kind of suspicious. Maybe it's all just like they say. It's a little suspicious, though. We're in the middle of the Cold War. A little bit suspicious. Would it be suspicious to you if when they launched this thing with a hockey puck full, apparently just running over with microorganisms, and they don't tell us what they are, don't know what they are, let's say it successfully leaves Earth orbit, it gets out to Phobos, and they're going to try and land, and or they're going to try and orbit, and there's a malfunction, and doggone it, the thing crashes. And now, you got a hockey puck full of microorganisms. That just release all over Phobos. Is it possible This is a delivery system for a biological weapon against the aliens that shot their spacecraft out of orbit. I've got some more stuff we'll talk about with reference to Phobos and Phobos 2 and the new Phobos Grunt Life mission. But I want to open up the telephone lines because I think, probably, this has piqued the curiosity of some of you, and you may have something you'd like to tell us. Or you may have something you'd like to say, or something that you would like to ask. So the telephone number is 623-444-5889. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. And let me give those to you again. The main number, and you can call this number from anywhere in the world, 623-444-5889. Or if you live in the USA and you live in Canada, there is a toll-free number if you need it. It is 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin. I'd like to say I'm calling from Mars, but unfortunately I'm in North Bay, Ontario.
Well, that's close.
I can't tell you what's up there, but what I can tell you that it was something that shouldn't have been there.
Sure.
Does that quote ring some bells?
That was used by several people. The head of the Russian Space Agency used it. Colonel Popovich, Marina Popovich, used that quote. And also Dr. Becklake in the English, the England Science Museum has used that quote.
Yeah, and shouldn't have been there. Well, I think that what they encountered up there, I think it actually does belong there. I think it just shouldn't have been there because it's not something that the normal people were supposed to see. I think Zechariah Sitchin actually had a bit of a good theory on what that could have been. It could have been some automated response to a proximity response of some sort. It saw something getting close, and it was a bit of a response to our own technology going there, and they blew it out of the sky.
It may be. That very well could be. I'm a little bit curious, though. See, now, here's the strange vibe. You've had 20 missions to Mars. You've had 17 failures. The one of the three that got there shot this photograph of a 20-kilometer-long cigar, and then it got shot out of space, and you're going back to the spot where you got shot out of space, and you're going back with a hockey puck full of some kind of biological microorganisms. What does that sound like to you?
It tells me, a 15% chance of getting there in one piece. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Maybe they're sending a biological weapon to the Anunnaki that are on there. Who knows? Or maybe maybe they want to try and trigger life on Phobos again. Who knows?
It could be that.
Yeah.
It could be that. But see, here's the deal: when you have a batting average like they've got, mm-hmm. when it comes to Mars. Which is, we've done it 20 times and we failed 17. No one is going to be suspicious when you fail again. And that failure may actually be the success. It may be an intended crash on Phobos. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because if it happens, if they go to Mars again and the thing gets blown out of the sky, once they get into orbit, it's going to say, something there is blowing it out of the sky. I don't think they're going to be able to fool people anymore. I think the people are not beyond
But what if it doesn't happen that way? What if it gets to Phobos and whoops, we had a computer glitch and gosh, it crashed on Phobos? Well, then you've just delivered a hockey puck absolutely brimming with some kind of microorganisms. What are they, and what would it do to any intelligent life that may be there?
Yeah, that's true. Well, You know, the life that's there would not be accustomed to a lot of the bacteriums that would be here on this planet. And I think that's one reason why you don't see, well, why don't they land on the White House lawn type of thing? I think it's because, well, they probably would not be able to withstand, you know, the biological effects. You know what I mean?
Well, that may be the case.
Yeah.
But, now, I'm not saying this is what's going to happen. I'm saying it sure smells like cabbage cooking in the kitchen to me.
Yeah.
It's highly suspicious to me that when you have failed 17 times and the one of your successes shoots this picture of a cigar-shaped mothership blowing your satellite out of the sky, and you go back there to the very same place, to Phobos, carrying a module full of microorganisms, that's pretty suspicious.
It sure is. And those 17 quote-unquote failures, how many of those were actually failures and not part of the secret space program?
Well, that's the point. That's the point. We were in a Cold War, and so, you know, you want to put something up in orbit, but you know that if you put a spy satellite up in low Earth orbit, you're going to anger the United States and escalate the Cold War. So you don't do that. No. You send one to Mars that fails.
Can I recommend a book for people?
Sure.
The book is called Dark Mission, The Secret History of NASA by Richard C. Hoagland and Mike Barra. I think it's a very, very...
it's a good book.
Yeah, well, like Bob Dean said, the book is dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
That if you really want to know what's going on with all this secret space program, you might want to take a look at that book.
Mm-hmm.
It might tell you why that they're not telling us the entire story of what's going on. You're also going to get the full story of what happened up there.
Well, I think this is pretty interesting, and I think it's pretty interesting that they've delayed until 2011, meaning this thing is going to arrive at Mars. They launch in 2011. It's going to arrive in 2012.
Yeah, and it follows these numerological dates. You know, these people that run the show, they like their numerology, and they like doing things on certain dates.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're trying to time it just right so these things happen.
Well, and see,
yeah.
This article talks about why they're delaying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, well, they just didn't have this ready, they didn't have that ready. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a freaking minute. These people launched on May 10th, 19th, and 28th in 1971. In 1973, they launched to Mars on July 21st and July 25th. And we can just keep going like that. I mean, they're popping these things out to Mars just about as fast as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have to delay till 2011. After all these years that they haven't been back to Mars, they have to delay till 2011. Nah.
They're waiting for.
there's something else they're waiting for here. Hey, man, thanks for the call.
All right, man. Have a good night.
All right. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, or toll-free, 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Leonard Roberts from Mid-South Mississippi.
All right, Leonard. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to Coast to Coast, you know, like a couple nights ago about Mars and the asteroid belt,
mm-hmm.
you know, between Jupiter and Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And it caught my attention that the asteroid belt maybe, you know, like 35 million years ago or whenever it was a planet that had exploded.
Could be. That is certainly a theory. Yeah, it could be. That's certainly one of the theories that's out there. One of the theories is that it's an exploded planet as a result of some collision. Another theory is that it's an exploded planet as a result of cosmic war between what we call extraterrestrials. So, yeah, it could be.
Yeah, Yeah, one of the things that had I thought about is how Phobos and Deimos, I think it is, you know, the moons of Mars, are not, you know, they kind of look like asteroids, and I kind of thought that maybe those two satellites was actually fragments of the planet, you know, from the asteroid belt that was once a planet, and it actually had civilization on it, and, you know, Mars was actually a moon to that. And maybe these ETs are going to Phobos and getting the leftover technology that's left on that. And who knows what else is happens after that.
Well, it could be. It could be. Do you find it a little bit odd that the Russians have this pattern of failure? But they had one successful mission to Phobos, and it got blown out of space. And now they're going back years later, carrying a pod of biological microorganisms. And with a pattern of failure that they have, no one would even suspect anything strange if they happened to crash on Phobos. Or even, maybe it's not for Phobos, you know, maybe it's for Mars. What if they happened to crash on Mars right on that city they photographed? And then that little pod just breaks open with all those microorganisms. I mean, do I have a sort of devious suspicion? Yeah, I do. It sounds to me like a biological weapons delivery plan.
Yeah, that's from what I have heard, you know, from a lot of sources on the mostly on the internet, is that ETs, you know, are not able to be on Earth exposed to all the bacteria and organisms and all that, or else they get sick, and it's like vice versa with humans, too. So, you know, it's a possibility.
I think it would be interesting to know what biological microorganisms they're talking about. What are they? I mean, are we talking about Ebola? Are we talking about swine flu? You know, what are we talking about? What's in this hockey puck full of microorganisms? I think that would be pretty interesting. The idea that they're trying to test out the theory of transpermia to see if it can life survive space flight. Yeah, it can. And you know, they know that. That's nonsense. There's something else going on here. I'm not sure that I have it figured out correctly, but there's something else up here.
Well, I mean, apparently the Russians and probably the United States too, they obviously know something. I mean, when they sent up the satellite, the mission, and it got blown out of the air by whatever that thing was, you know, maybe they know something else beyond that, and they might have intercepted the thing, and it just, you know, they shut it off or something, you know, whatever it is up there.
I don't know. It's weird. It's very weird. It's very suspicious, and I often say I don't have to look in the pot on the stove to tell you it's cabbage. You can smell it's cabbage when you walk in the house, and something's up here. There's cabbage cooking in the kitchen. I haven't looked in the pot to see if it's red cabbage or regular white cabbage, but it's cabbage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks.
623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the number to call, or you can give us a call at the toll-free number. The toll-free number is 623. I'm sorry, that's not right. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
How are we doing?
Doing good. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, I tend to think that I tend to follow the exploded planet hypothesis, which is, it seems to make sense to me that What if Mars was the used to be the moon of a planet that exploded? A lot of people have different ideas of why it was exploded. But the asteroid, but a lot of people have the theory, you know, Tom Van Flander, I kind of read his theory on the whole thing, that the asteroid belt was a former planet that was somehow exploded. And which kind of makes sense to me, that the moon of Mars, it doesn't look like a moon, it looks like an asteroid to me. So maybe there's something on the Phobos that used to be part of the former planet that had been exploded. Do you see what I mean? You follow what I mean?
I do, and maybe that monolith is part of it.
It just, if anybody wants to read a real interesting study on that, should check out some of Tom Van Flander's work. And he was no slouch in the he used to be a former chief astronomer for the Naval Observatory. So you don't get that position unless you know what you're doing.
But well, that's true.
Kevin, I wanted to ask you. You had stated before that there's some people in government, high up in government, that listen to your show, right? Possibly to the cabinet level. Could you?
I didn't say to what level.
Oh, okay.
But in the military, in our government, and in several governments around the world, yeah.
High up in the government, do you think, then, huh?
Yeah. Hang on, we have a break, and we'll continue on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Welcome back, and we have Ryan from Washington on the phone. Ryan, we had to cut you off in mid-sentence, so the floor is yours. You were asking me about people in high places listening to the show. Yes, they do.
Well, I'd like to put out the challenge out there, if they're listening tonight, to call in. I'd like to challenge one of them to call in, use an anonymous name, and tell us what's really going on, and we'll see what happens. I would like to see if one of them would be able to call in. But one point, and I'll let the phone line go for somebody else. Have you ever considered the possibility, you know, the shadow on Mars, the Phobos shadow that you were talking about earlier?
Yep.
Have you ever considered the possibility that that shadow and the place where the image was taken come from the same place? What I mean is that shadow could possibly be the craft that was that it photographed itself, sort of a thing. You ever consider that possibility, that there was one craft there that, and when it photographed it, it accidentally caught a shadow of itself?
Are you saying that it was possibly a shadow of the Phobos 2 satellite itself?
No. The photograph was coming from the object that was in the shadow, or the, you know, it just seems kind of odd to me that shadow is so right in the middle of that if the Phobos satellite took that photograph, then the object making the shadow would have to be directly behind it.
In some proximity to it. It could be. It could be the shadow of the thing it photographed that was 20 kilometers long. It could be that, or it could be another craft. But, it certainly was something that wasn't supposed to be there. And at least from our perspective, it's something they didn't expect to be there, and they were surprised by it. And this happened right after it photographed the infrared image of that city.
Mm-hmm. Now, what if somebody, another civilization, or let's just, nobody really knows, none of us really know, we're all still kind of speculating. That's why I'm hoping that maybe somebody can call and tell us what is actually going on. But anyways, what if there there's somebody or something on Mars and on Phobos that does the same thing that, that our military did, which is shoot them down, you know. We've tried shooting them down before in the past, if you look at some of the testimonies. Maybe that's what they're trying to do. They want to study our craft. Is that a possibility? I mean,
sure,
we're just speculating here, but...
Yeah, it's a possibility. You know, the Mars Global Surveyor was in service for 10 years, and it was still going strong. And it went around behind Mars, orbiting Mars, and didn't come back. And they used the new satellite, which has the high-resolution cameras, and they scanned the whole area looking for the Mars Global Surveyor. Because they wanted to see if there was some sort of physical malfunction that they could see and maybe run some kind of program that would correct it. Not only did they not find the Mars Global Surveyor where it should be, there was no debris field. It was just gone. And well, to this day, they've not explained that.
Maybe they have it in an airport hangar somewhere or a lab studying it, wondering who are these people? We're aliens to them, whoever they are. You know what I mean? It's kind
could
of a,
be.
Yeah. But anyways, I'll let the phone line go to somebody else. It's a real good show tonight, and I wanted to say that everybody, I highly recommend listening to your show on a cell phone. This is the first time I've tried it today, and it works great, and it's free.
So, it is.
I mean, yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Oops, I cut him off just a second too early there. I'm sorry. Yeah, you can listen to this show on your cell phone. So wherever you happen to go, you know, even if you're not in front of a computer or you're not in range of one of our affiliate radio stations, you got your cell phone, you can catch the show. And as he said, there's no charge for that. And look, if your cell phone company charges you minutes, that's between you and your cell phone company. But there's no charge for the broadcast service over the cell phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, very interesting about all the stuff going on with Phobos and Mars. One thing I was thinking is that it was interesting that we're putting so much effort or we were supposed to be into doing all that long-range satellite arrays to monitor out there if there was nothing going on. And my friend thought it biological. It sounds like they're trying to nuke something out there with some biological warfare. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, with all the stuff going on and, you know, the Russians being able to get out there so quick probably, I mean, 3 out of 20, give me a break. That's actually a joke. We were laughing our butts off over here on that one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when do you go to the Super Bowl with a 3-20 team? It's never happened. You know?
That's true.
So I thought that was pretty interesting, and I'll leave you with the fact that it's kind of scary to see Russia linked up with China. Not like there's anything wrong with the countries, but you know the communist side on China and what's going on in Russia linked up together with biological stuff shooting it into space. You know, I mean, times are getting really weird. And, you know, with everything going on economically and all these things, why would they be so worried about there? And what are we monitoring out there if there's nothing going on? I think there's a complete war out there going on, and I don't know who's friend or foe or what the story is, but it's kind of funny watching them all scramble trying to cover things up with some of the dumbest thing. Here's a news update. I'll leave you with one other thing, is that on the local radio shows, they reported that the, I think it was the space station or space shuttle up above the planet released a ball of pee, and as it was going through the atmosphere, it lit up the whole sky, and so there were all these different reports, and they said, so that explains all the reports of every UFO that's been in Laguna Canyon and anywhere around there. And I'm like, wow, so they were releasing balls of pee in the 20s and 30s? That's cool. Interesting they had that technology back then. And I'll leave you with the fact that I still think all that stuff, all that ancient petroglyphs on the rocks, it's the kind of thing where, like, if somebody's contacting the dead and they start coming up with specific names, numbers, and birth dates, and they've never met the person, they're being contacted or there's something going on that's not normal. Well, if all that stuff's on the rock and it's showing the exact formation of the Phoenix Lights, it's showing them shooting stuff at barbells that we're seeing in the sky, it's showing all the cattle and different things running away from these things in the sky. That's 100% proof that we've been visited. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And by the way, Jeff Woolline is the guy that sort of picked up on all of that in his research, and he wasn't researching in that direction, but he sort of picked up on that. And I talked with him today, and you know, you heard the other night when I talked with the Native American shaman and musician Thunderbeat, I told her about some of his conclusions about those petroglyphs, and she said that's exactly right. And you know, what Bob says, you know, I think that's true. What Jeff, oh, by the way, the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Now, what Jeff Woolline says, among other things, is that these petroglyphs, you know, back then they didn't have video cameras. And so what's happening is, you know, they want to record what they saw and what they experienced. And the rocks with the petroglyphs are their videotapes, because they didn't have video cameras. They didn't have videotape. So this is how they recorded it. And so you're looking at, according to Jeff, real events. And Bob says he thinks that's true. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
I know you're coming up on a break. I got like three questions. The first one, are you kidding me? They actually got a biological element on a ship that's the Russians that's going to Phobos?
Yeah, it'll be going in 2011.
And what's the do you have any idea what the purpose and what this biological thing is?
Well, what they say is it's an experiment to see if transpermia could actually happen. Can the microorganisms survive spaceflight? Of course they can. That's nonsense.
Be considered a biological? Wouldn't it be something more like genetics? Or I mean, not genetics, but what we're made out of?
A DNA?
Along the line of.
What they say is it's got. What they say is that this little hockey puck sized thing, this little bio module, is absolutely full of microorganisms. But they don't say what microorganisms. And
I assume they're not dangerous, huh?
Well, it doesn't say that. It doesn't even address it. And what I'm saying is that number one, you're going back to where you got blown out of space, and this time you're carrying a little module that's packed full of microorganisms, a little biological pod. And with your batting average being only 3 successes out of 20 tries, no one's going to be suspicious if you crash. So when you crash, you've just delivered whether you intend it or not, you have just delivered what amounts to a biological weapon.
As far as they would be concerned, and that sounds like a very irresponsible and stupid thing. I don't think we want to be playing games with whatever or whoever could be there.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, did you believe in that, I can't think of the name of what they're calling it, but they supposedly launched a probe to Venus with a nuclear weapon aboard to try and turn it into a sun. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't. I've heard rumors about that, but I haven't heard any real evidence one way or the other on that. I mean, I've heard the rumor, but I have not heard any evidence whatsoever about, you know, if that's an actual fact.
Yeah. Have you heard anything more about that, the purpose of this cloud In the atmosphere?
No.
No?
No.
How are you coming on that second edition of Gods in the Garden?
Well, the material's done. It's been done for a long time. I don't know if I will do another live seminar. I don't know if I do, when it will happen. But it's pretty likely. Pretty likely. It's, you know,
I was going to say, if you didn't want to do it live, I mean, if, you know, you could, you know, tape it or something. That'd be nice, and then, you know, and sell it.
Well, yeah, I might do that. We'll see. We'll see. It's extremely time-consuming, believe me. Imagine doing the research and imagine doing all of the, you know, memorizing that you have to do in order to stand in front of the camera for 2 or 3 hours and talk. Preparation for that is horrendous. Got to run. We've got a break taking over. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
All right. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. We have a flash message I want to read. This is from Nick in the United Kingdom. He says, if these aliens know that these containers have microbes that could possibly destroy them, then perhaps this is meant to stop them from shooting at these satellites. Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. I would think it would tick them off. Imagine if all of a sudden... a race that every government on the planet has been saying doesn't exist. There's no extraterrestrials. And all of a sudden, one of their satellites or spaceships shows up in our Earth orbit, and it's carrying a big pod of microbes. You think that might sort of tick us off a little bit? Here on this planet, we call that terrorism. This change the setting. Someone from one country goes into another country carrying a pod of microorganisms. Doesn't tell anybody that he's coming. He just shows up carrying this pod of microorganisms. You think maybe that the intelligence service in the country where he arrives might take a dim view of that? I think they might. Now, if there was no evidence of a possible intelligent civilization on Mars, then I would say, okay. I think it's dumb to do it, but okay. However, it was the Phobos 2 satellite that took an infrared photograph. And I showed on KSS TV that photograph. It took an infrared photograph of what looks like a city. Now, that's not on the surface of Mars. That's under the surface. It's giving off a heat signature that produced the photograph in an infrared camera. In addition to that, the Phobos 2 satellite took a photograph of some kind of spacecraft, some sort of object, flying right alongside Phobos, the moon of Mars. It's the last thing the satellite photographed before it starts spinning out of control and disappears. Does this prove that there is an intelligent race of beings on Mars? Well, no, it doesn't prove that, but it is evidence that there may be. And if you have evidence that there may be, it would not seem to me to be very bright to be sending a pod of biological stuff microorganisms, whatever they may be, into their neighborhood. Unless you actually intend, I mean, if it's your intention that you want to possibly infect them, well, you would do that. But imagine now the cover that this mission's got. First of all, no admission that there is any such thing as an extraterrestrial race anywhere. So we don't have to worry about it. That's one part of a good cover. Another part of a good cover is we've been there 20 times. We tried 20 times. We actually got there 3 times. And so if it crashes, no one's going to be suspicious. They'll just say, you know, the Russians just really don't have Mars down. They just don't have this figured out. And they crashed another one. So 2 good pieces of cover. And the end result, you will have delivered your package of biological stuff. You will have delivered the little module full of microorganisms. Now, am I saying, and I want to make this clear, am I saying that that is what's going on here with this Russian mission to Mars? No, I'm not. I'm saying that there are a lot of little pieces that when you put them together, that's what it looks like is a possibility. I am not saying that this is their intention. But wow, when you look at the pieces, there are 20 really good pieces, and that's their previous missions to Mars. When you look at that, and you look at the dates and the way they were able to just pop these out there, and now it's after the Phobos 2 incident, it was 8 years before they tried again, and it failed. And now here we are, that was 1996. Here we are 13 years later. How long will it be till 2011? 96 to 2000, well, see, it was the end of 96, so we'll say 97, 3 years to 2000. Yeah, 14 years. It'll be 14 years. So since Phobos 2, a total of 22 years go by until they arrive there with their biological pod. Why would you go back to the very place where you came up with the strongest evidence yet that someone is living over there in the neighborhood of Mars? And they didn't want you there, and they blew your spaceship out of space. You come up with that evidence. It made an impression because up until then, they're popping these probes to Mars out just about as quick. I mean, it's like cookie cutters. And then all of a sudden, it's 8 years before they go back. But that one failed, and now it's another 14 years before they go. Something seems to have made an impression on the Russians. Stay away from Mars, particularly Phobos. Something seems to have made that impression. Interesting, isn't it? And it seems to have made that impression upon them right about the same time that we were getting all involved in something besides going to the moon. All right, now, this is important. We need to know what kind of microorganisms are in that pod. And if they say, well, look, it's nothing but like, you know, the common cold virus. It's nothing particularly dangerous. Well, not to us. But if you've never had a cold virus, it could kill you. I have some suspicions as to what this might be. I'm not going to say them. And the reason I'm not is because it's only suspicion. And it's not based on anything at all. What I've talked about here tonight is based on something. It's based on their flight schedule to Mars and their success rate at Mars and the fact that they want to go back, but this time they want to go back to where they got blown out of the sky. And this time they're carrying a pod of biology. That much is not speculation. And because we have, you know, some facts, I don't mind speculating as to what those facts mean. I want to stress again, it doesn't mean that what I have speculated is correct. I could be completely 100% wrong about all this. Something's up. All right, that's a wrap for this evening. I want to thank everyone who called in. I want to thank everyone who sent a flash message. And thank you for being here for the Kevin Smith Show. It's all about you. I'm here because it matters, and so do you. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.